Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Thank you so much. I mean, like, as always, we are packing this out great success.
It's like Saturday night at the local penitentiary.
Yes.
Not live at the Palladium.
But, no, you know, that'll never happen. Yeah, oh, there seems to be some background noise. What's going on?
I think there's a door open.
Heckled from afar. Doesn't matter.
There's a door open. I do feel the lights at this time of day do make a mockery.
I don't know why we keep persisting on having this lighting stage.
I've repeatedly said for the past week, could you ditch the lights?
Can we ditch these lights? Yeah, thank you.
And just
you.
Go house lights. Yeah,
no, just house lights.
Can we just have the house lights, not the disco lights?
Oh, that's better.
We don't want charged for the disco lights.
See, that feels...
We've been charged enough by this. I'm not going to say the words... venue, but there.
This feels more like our standard of what we're doing, church hall feel.
Well, church hall feel, well, it's more of a conversation.
It is.
Thank goodness for Mary Burke listening in her accommodation. She's one of our foremost listeners. Have you seen all her quite amusing comments about things, saying, I love the way that, because you were aware that Jerry Sadovitz had caused some controversy.
Oh, yes, he had.
Because he'd washed his hair, and people were used to it being manky. Because I looked at those posters and I thought, A, they're very old. What the F must you look like now? And what is living in your hair? He will have cooties. Anyway, what she said was, it was amazing. No comedian or performer has come out in solidarity because the nominations haven't been announced as yet, which I thought was totally succinct.
Absolutely bang on the money.
She said something that you would very much enjoy. I mean, I know you're too famous to follow, but she said that complaining about going to see a Jerry Sadovitz gig is the same as going to an orgy, then complaining you're covered in jizz. And I thought, sister, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Totes. So there we go. Oh, there's Lenka coming back in.
No, hello, good morning.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, good. It's all women today. That's fine. I fit in.
Anne and I had never previously met, and now I've seen her three times in 3 days. So
we've had Lenka for 3 days.
I said, no, I've previously never met Anna, and now I've seen her every day for the last 3 days.
Oh, my God. So you share a same taste in kind of pleather overcoats. Is that pleather or is it leather? It's pleather, yes. Because your little hunter thing looks like a foreskin.
Yes, it does.
The way it's all bunching up, it's kind
of... It looks like I've taken the skin off a baby pig or something.
Oh, well, I think in New York they call that a breast.
All right, okay.
I think they call that a breast.
Now, I'm very keen to find out, because the drama of your hemorrhoids that has been in my conversation, what has happened that it's not a hemorrhoid?
Well, yesterday was a nightmare. We were meant to go and see Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Yes.
Dame Smidgen decided to start shitting and vomiting around about 1 o'clock. So when I got back to Minnie's, she was like, the dog's a bit upset. I was like, And then my very good friend, Susie McCabe, who'd got me the tickets, had to get in touch and say, look, can you give these tickets to someone else? And can you tell Sophie I'm very sorry? So what had happened was, yesterday was a busy day for me because I had to go to the vet because the dog's got slight arthritis, but she gets a Librela injection. She's like new. It's like canine Complan. Marvelous. Although it's £100 a shot. My Botox is fucking cheaper. Anyway, I thought I had a hemorrhoid because I had what I can only describe as an anal earring dangling, sometimes bursting, that kind of thing. Very upsetting. Very, very upsetting. So I get to the Western General and the man's 20 minutes late, so I'm livid, obviously, because it's full of people wearing masks, but, you know, just off one ear. And I'm like, well, you're going to wear it properly, or if you not, don't. So when we come in, and he went, hi, do you know what you're here for? And I went, well, fuck, I would hope so, because, you know, if you're going anywhere near my hoop, yes, I'd like to see a certificate or a qualification. So he went, oh, you're forthright and direct. I went, honey, you have no idea. He went, so what do you think's got? I said, what is this? I went, I'm not a domestic terrorist. I'm not trying to get this done on someone's behalf. I think I have a hemorrhoid. Can you help me with this or not? Said yes. So he puts me behind the curtain, and the next thing, this woman comes in, right? And I went, oh my God, I didn't agree to be in an OnlyFans scenario. Now that's where people put their porn out online, or they're maybe just wanking themselves and they charge money. It's a very good line. So she went, well, I'm just here to pump up the bed. And I said, but that's what they would say in an OnlyFans situation. He said, can I have a feel of your pubis? And I said, since you asked nicely. So he was having a scoot round and he went, can you turn over? And I went, well, where do you want my buttocks? He went, to my face. I went, right. She's on her phone on Instagram. And I went, bitch, put that away. You're at your fucking work. Act accordingly. So he went, I'm just going to go in and probe. And I'm thinking, fuck, you know, the dog's in the car. I'm upset, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, he went, I'll apply a bit of pressure. I went, mate, I've done bigger shits than your finger. Get up there and get out. I said, I've a lot to do today. I'm batch cooking and it's my day off. So he went, how would you describe your thought? I said, it's an anal earring, a dangly one. So anyway, zip yourself back up and all that kind of stuff. Oh, he was wiping up the gel and I thought, oh fuck, I hope I've wiped properly. You can imagine, you just thought, oh, I'm so tired and my hair wasn't sitting. Anyway, so we get back outside and I said, right, what is it? Can it come off? And he said, well, there's a problem. And I said, what's the problem? He said, it's not a hemorrhoid. I went, it's not a hemorrhoid? He said, it's a skin tag. I said, a skin tag? You mean I've been through all this for a skin tag? I went, can you not?
What do you mean you've been through all this? I've had to fucking listen to you for a
while. Well, bitch, please, at least I've been filling time. Thank God. Anyway, so I said, do you have any nail clippers? Can you just get it out now? No, I can't be cauterized. I can't be banded. I have to be knocked out, which I'm not entirely unhappy because I enjoy that feeling and they can have a go at my eye bags at the same time. And I've got to go to bloody Dumbarton to do it because of COVID waiting lists and bloody Nicola. So it's not even a hemorrhoid, a skin tag. I'm fucking livid. So anyway, that was my morning yesterday. And I did say to him, I said, I think you're very unprofessional. I said, why are you acting coy and giggling around my hoop? You're staring down the barrel of a gun. Just fucking get on with it, you twit. Michael Mosley or whatever his name was. What an absolute penis.
Oh, I feel like I've had a very boring morning in comparison.
I had quite a relaxing day after that.
I got accosted three times on Princes Street by muggers, chuggers, whatever they're called.
By what?
All those people, honestly, there was one after the other, literally kind of grabbing you to give, and it's that thing going, basically, do you care about cancer for kids? And you don't want to say no, but you don't want to stop talking to them.
Oh, do you mean people trying to collect a charity? No, well, use your words, for fuck's sake. What? Chuggers.
Chuggers.
Oh, that charity sounds like muggers. Something that I've seen in a film that's only meant for hardcore piggy men chugging the cottage cheese.
Sounds like something that would be on OnlyFans.
Did you give them anything?
Did I fuck?
Did you light up one of your cigarettes shouting, I'm keen to get cancer?
I wafted past them in a plume of smoke.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to help anybody.
And then you had your fanny out?
I had my fanny out yesterday.
You were doing your fanny show.
Fanny's Susan Morrison. We had a lovely time, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I'd arranged to go for dinner straight after fanny's with Susan and Joe Caulfield, mm-hmm. Aisha Hazarika, Ian Stone. We were going to have a nice little get-together comedians dinner. And literally I came off stage and texted Joe saying, I'm on my way. As I left the stand, there's a poster with a lineup for Best of Scottish and my name is on it. I was like, well, that's fucking doing there. But apparently I was booked for Best of Scottish last night, so I didn't go for dinner.
How was the apparently New Town Theatre? How was the mausoleum that is the New Town Theatre?
It was all right. It was busy in Best of Scottish.
Was it busy anywhere else?
No.
I mean, the toilets aren't even busy in that venue.
No.
That's when you know a venue.
And I tell you what as well, the staff are not very fucking busy either because...
Oh, they're busy being obstructive. I nearly dragged one over the counter on Saturday. Now, I think everyone can get a vibe. Mm. I'm a reasonable woman until pushed. I will not be told by a three-year-old that my complimentary tickets aren't there. I had to, in the end, go, Jess, sort it. She said, no. I mean, unless you want sacked, quiet, give me my tickets. And I got them. Oh, no, you have to. That took 17 minutes. As I say, I'm reasonable. Didn't want the Botox wearing off.
No, absolutely. No, it's very annoying.
Oh, it's just revolting. It's unnecessary.
Should we get a guest on?
Oh, I think we should. I think I'd like you to introduce them while I take a deep composing breath.
Yes, because you've stretched something.
I shan't
something.
Sing out further.
I know. We don't want another skin tag.
How'd you get a fucking skin tag up your hoop?
I don't know, darling.
Because he went, do you have any problems going to the toilet? I went, what do you think I am?
Mm-hmm.
Really? How rude. I can still with the best of them. Do one.
On that note, we've got the fabulous Jambi McGrath. Please come and join us, Jambi.
Hello, darling. How are you?
We cuddle on this show. Hello, darling. I keep feeling like I should apologise for the sound of me because I do sound like I'm about to die. But I feel fine, so...
All right, so you're not going to die.
Well, I hope not.
Oh, this is just a sick bid for attention, really,
it is,
isn't
it? A little
it?
Bit attention.
Oh, I'm going to
seeking.
Die. Could you come and see my show? I'd love to have a sold-out one on a Tuesday.
Feel
still
sorry
alive
for me.
On the Wednesday.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. So how are you finding this festival? Halfway point.
Wow.
There's our answer.
Well, the sand was amazing. So, you know, I just absolutely loved it. I don't think I've ever seen Edinburgh in the sunshine. So I was like, oh my God.
I love the sun.
Yeah, it was glorious. Like, I at one point thought, I'm too hot.
Oh yeah, way too hot.
And then someone heard it and then brought the rain.
Good. Yeah. And I think, is that us done now for sunshine? We're not getting any more. That was our lot.
No, I don't think there's to be any need to be so fritzel in your pessimism. I think there will be sun again.
Do you?
Just because you're dying today, don't lump us in with you. Some of us want to live. I'll have a smooth hoop soon. I'm busy.
The only thing I'm annoyed about with rain is because it puts paid to my lying on a beanbag for 2 hours after this show at the Loft Bar.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, my feet were absolutely soaking. Mm-hmm. So I was at the Loft Bar drying my toes. And people were like, is she all right? No, I'm just keeping warm. That's how tough things have become.
And how's the show going?
Yeah, it's going all right.
That doesn't sound very convincing, Jambi.
I think everybody knows that the first few days was a bit slow, and then it's picking up. And
is it? Look around. Look around. What are we? 3 years in?
No, you've got two glorious.
We've got two lovely people. Oh, listen, we're delighted, and you will
engaged,
come back.
They're engaged.
Of course, they're engaged. They're drinking at midday. They have their own problems.
How do you know this information that they're engaged? Oh, engaged as in engaged with us. I thought.
Wow. She didn't know what Dishoom was earlier. She just looked at me. Oh, my God.
So I struggle on a daily basis with some of the words, and yeah.
I mean, honestly, I said to her on day one, I went, oh, look at your trainers. They're very Balenciaga. She nearly had a breakdown. She just couldn't understand it. Mm-hmm. She couldn't understand. Do you enjoy an expensive pump? Because yours are almost McQueen.
Well, you know what? It's always nice to have a treat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you been down to Harvey Nichols?
This one here?
Yes.
No, I haven't actually.
Well, you have to go. And if you buy anything, keep your receipt because I'll use it for my app. But they've got a really brilliant new sneaker department on the third floor.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Get involved, girlfriend. That's all I'm saying.
I need to spend all the money that I make at the festival.
Oh, lucky. We need to... What do we need to bring in? Is it the receivers? Who's it that bankrupts you?
The sheriffs.
Yes. No, yes. But they say they're bringing
the Scott and Co. bailiffs.
Oh, nice. Because that'll be happening after this. Are you discussing anything to do with designer footwear or debt in your show?
No.
I'm
more a concentration camp kind of person.
Right.
A concentration camp.
Yeah.
So quite light,
cheery,
frothy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you in one?
My grandmother was one.
Right, okay.
And my mother was in one.
Right,
your mother was in a concentration camp?
For 8 years.
See, I was in a concentration camp when I lived in my mum's house for the last 8 years. That's no word of a lie. It was Dundee and she wasn't pleasant. It was a horrible experience.
Yes, and everything's relevant.
How can you, there's raw and being raw. I mean, that's, wow.
Yeah, wow, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of British history and, the British people want to be proud of their history. So I'm doing a show about concentration camps in Kenya.
I fucking love the sound of it. I mean, I'm assuming it has got jokes in it.
There are.
Yeah.
There are.
Thank fuck. Jesus.
Yeah, there are jokes. You know, the thing is, I cannot talk about myself and not talk about British history.
Of course.
And so I talk about myself and my show. I'm comparing my life now and living in London, being a comedian. My grandmother was a comedian in a concentration camp.
Really?
Yeah, telling jokes about colonizers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Why were they placed in the concentration camp? Forgive my ignorance. I'm a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills person, so I don't really know much about the world at large. I think it's best to be honest with people. But because we had, they're trying to, who's the guy on the column outside Harvey Nichols? Is that Henry Dundas?
Yes.
And he's got something to do with it, hasn't he?
Yes, with slavery.
Slavery, right, okay. No, I'm almost there, because I recognise Harvey Nichols. I remember a friend of mine who's even more shallow than me said, who's that on that column? Is that Gene Brody? And I said, no, Gene Brody was a fictitious character. I'll find out for you and tell you. But Dundas, right, okay. Because
yes,
they're trying to rename the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also, yes, so I think there was a move to take the statue down as well. But again, there's that division between people as to whether taking statues down changes the course of history. It doesn't, obviously. What are your thoughts on that in terms of, do you think statues should come down that not celebrate because it's a statue, but that remind us of who they were? But,
well, the bigger question is that, how is it that people can torture people and murder people and the British celebrates them by putting statues up? It says more about who the British are, basically, if people are trying to fight to maintain those statues. I suspect is that a lot of people don't understand British history. I know it very well.
Right. I can remember. History in Scotland was, I think we got the Egyptians, something about the moldy old Jacobites.
Yeah.
I started
World War II every single day of the week.
That's why I started playing truant at a very young age.
The teaching of history in certainly Scottish schools was very selective.
Well, because it's shame for history.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother, when she was eight, their camp, their homes were burned and raided. They were all taken to concentration camps. So men and women, men and women were separated. The men were taken to detention centers where most of them were castrated. And the women were taken to different camps with their children for starvation and torture. And so, really, my mother at the age of eight is the one that used to go and sneak out so that she could get food for her mother and family. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everybody was starving to death. Similar to what you've seen in Auschwitz, you know, similar story.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about us because, you know, Black history doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't count. But, you know, so many genocides in Africa have been committed. King Leopold II of Belgium, he killed 10 million Africans in 7 years. The British had a concentration camp in Kenya until 1960. That's when my mother and my family were set free. And when they were set free, they were ordered to destroy the camp and they were left on the side of the street. That's how my mother's life as a 16-year-old began.
But that's also because it is all about education and that people don't know what they don't know. And that's why things, you know, learning about it and doing shows about it to educate people, because it's the ignorance of not knowing what's gone on in the past.
Yeah, but so, my purpose is really to just talk about the comparison between me and my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot talk about the comparison between me and my grandmother without talking about where she was.
Goes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I find it absolutely fascinating because, you know, the more... Quite often, I think we're deliberately misled and deliberately not allowed access to information from, I mean, you look, there was Once Upon a Time in Iraq, there was a documentary recently about it, and just the complete disconnect from what we were told through the media at the time and the reality of what happened to the people in Iraq, and it doesn't match.
Last night, Channel 4 had a documentary about, it's called A Very British Torture. It was on actually last night or the night before.
Yeah.
And how it was basically the documentary was about how the soldiers were in training about how to torture people in Kenya, and then they were moved over to Ireland. This is the history. History repeats.
Yeah.
History is the same. What we're seeing here are the police is being orchestrated now mm-hmm. is making people poor is basically exactly what happened to Kenya.
Yeah.
So the British arrived, they found everybody living in their homes, you know, satisfied and happy and whatever. And they deported them from their land, put them in camps, brought in the Red Cross to feed them. And then they tell you Africans are so poor. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And this is the image that has persisted until this day.
Yeah.
Never does anybody say, how is it that the British were kicked out of Africa? Mm-hmm. It is because Africans fought for their freedom. Mm-hmm. And now, what you see, even those commercials for Africa, is propaganda
yeah.
to justify the actions that were committed on Africans, you know. And so now they've managed to go from slave traders to colonialism mm-hmm. and now to saviors. So mm-hmm. now people are the ones coming to dig our toilets. It's like, yeah, so...
And yeah, and history does repeat itself.
Sorry,
but also,
let's talk about anuses. I think the anuses...
Oh, no, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. And I would like to say it's for me to share my anus, not for you to grab at it. Thank you very much. Have you heard of the term consent, even if it's conversational? No, my hoop is away for the day. Yeah. And quite frankly, I'm glad. I'm absolutely glad. But, so do you do juxtapositions to like stuff from concentration camps to parts of the body in the show, like spin it on its head?
Well, I don't really, I've never really even thought about talking about my anus. Or
do you, is there anything wrong with it?
No.
Not that you know of?
Not that I know of.
No.
Because I know very little other than about it. other than that occasionally needs cleaning. That's the only...
Just occasionally. So you're not a regular stooler. It's like Nigella in the recently boiled kettle. Just a recently boiled kettle. Last Wednesday. I'll maybe have a wee wipe.
Yeah, I do like the range of conversation that we've had here. Yeah. It's gone from quite sort of extremes to other extremes, really.
Well, exactly. Are you a moist... While we're on this train, are you a moist toilet roll person? Because I have to say, I like to be dry there.
Sorry?
Not to the point when I'm chafing,
no.
But do you use moist toilet roll post-evacuation?
I did it.
Once you've shat, do you use moist toilet roll?
No.
No, good. No, that's fine.
No. I don't because it's full of chemicals and it's nasty stuff. Mm. So I personally would rather have a bidet rather than have... putting chemicals up my ass.
Putting what? Tampons.
Chemicals up
chemicals.
My ass.
Well, it was funny. I was privy to a conversation with friends of friends, and apparently they had an elderly mother who had to be taken to the gynecological clinic because she'd mistaken a lady's wipe for a floor wipe, and her hoo-ha was hopping about all over the place.
So she'd
had a good dicht around. So dicht for Scotland is have a wee wash, and she'd washed herself, and obviously her poor Ruby couldn't take it. The pH balance was all to fuck, and she had to go and I think get hosed out.
Well, the thing is, actually, when my girls were very small, they used to advertise this something called Candoos, which is like wipes for little ones to wipe themselves. And I once tried it. It stings. It stings. And I was like, they're marketing this shit to children.
Oh.
I looked at the ingredients. I was like, I am not putting this on my worst enemy. Yet.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I remember those pull-up pants, and they used to glow in the dark once they were full of urine. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
They must have been full of chemicals. No wonder the world's fucked pollution-wise.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's the whole thing.
Now, tell us, where is your show on and at what time?
The Pleasance Courtyard.
Yes.
Baby Grant at 5:50 every single day. By the way, it's a comedy show, okay?
Yes. No.
Yeah. Because, like, people wouldn't know from how dark we went.
Yes, so we like going dark.
But I feel, conversationally, you've run the gamut, so I think people listening will be like, she's funny and poignant, and don't use those wipes on your children.
Yeah.
Or
it's
floor
all about
wipes
learning.
On old grannies.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've learned a lot today.
Yeah.
Mainly, don't put wipes on your bottom.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. What a
Jambi,
lovely...
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
A pleasure to meet you. Can we have a round of applause?
Thank you, Jambi McGrath.
Thank you, doll.
Darling. I love a hug as well.
Oh. Sorry, I'm throwing myself at you.
I know you're being very affectionate today.
I know
today.
I'm being very affectionate today. I feel as though I'm letting my guard down. I'm almost in a good mood.
You are. I spotted that off you.
I'm almost in a good mood. It was funny,
cheerful.
Though, because John's in with his lovely lady, and she went like that to me. Are you hungover? And I went, no, but thanks for saying I look like shit.
Oh, yes.
Shall we have our next guest on? Because I am familiar with the next guest.
You are. Well,
I shall introduce this lovely, lovely human being, and I want a round of applause for Sindhu V.
Hey.
Oh, hello, hello, hello.
I think we all need hugs at the moment, don't we? At the halfway point, we're getting filled up with our hugs.
So, before you ask me anything, can I
about
say
your
something?
Anus?
Oh, please do.
No, not about my anus, but also I don't use any toilet paper. I wash. So, yeah.
You wash?
Because we're Indians. We wash.
Yes,
oh,
of course.
Can you
that's
talk
very
me
much
through
but
this.
But before we get to washing and all that, I just want to say, I always, because I was a smoker,
yep.
And I always wanted to have your voice. I remember when I first started comedy, I would hear your voice, I'd be like, oh yeah, it's good I smoke, because I wanted that voice.
Yeah.
And also I was one of those smokers who was like, well, what happens, happens, like fuck it, you know? And then my mom passed away in 2019, and that was sad and so on and so forth, we don't have to talk about it. But I was so devastated by her passing that it suddenly I thought, I'm quite a grown-up, and this is making it hard. If I smoke and I'll, like, fuck it, cancer, and then my
kids, I know.
I'll be on my deathbed like, you dicks. Yeah. You know, you knew they were going to be... So I quit. But when I was hearing your voice today, I was like, God, that's sexy. I like
thank
that.
Thank you, darling.
I do like that.
I'm the opposite of that, because I was 23 when my mum died, and so I am still very much fuck it, but I brought my kids up to live without me, so they'll just have to deal
that's
with
great.
It.
No,
and you've done that very well.
Successfully.
Because there are 4 children that think mummy might not make it home in time for tea.
But they're on board.
Because she's been out for 3 years.
No, but I think it is important to know, you know, when... And you were close to your mom, were you?
Yeah, very close.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you know, the day I got the phone call that she'd had a second hemorrhage, I grew up on that flight back to India. I grew up, I mean, I didn't know it then, but looking back, I grew up.
Oh, it is. I mean, the change, because, well, it's you're facing your own mortality, and just, there's something, the one thing, best way I can describe it, after my mom died, because, you know, I got on brilliantly with her, but obviously, you know, fought as a teenager and things, but, and I always knew she loved me, do you know what I mean? Now, of course, I knew she's my mom, she loved me, but and she died before I had any children. So when I had kids, it was only when I had kids that I realized how much she loved me.
Oh, yeah.
Because until you have your own kids, you don't realize how much.
You don't. So. But my mom told me what to do all the time, including after her first stroke.
Yeah.
Well, I remember because the last time I saw you, you were on tour. We were in Mimi's Bakehouse on Market Street, and you told me what your mom had said.
Yeah.
And that she was just very, she was like, don't come back, get on with it.
Yeah, get on with
get
it.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
And she was getting better. But, you know, Hoga vahi jo Ram rach rakha, as we say. Only that happens, which is destined. And it was her time to go. And she wasn't supposed to because she was getting better. But she did. And I guess that was the thing that I was like, oh, I have to stop smoking. This is so annoying. And I felt like she could have just lived for another 10 years out of smoking.
Yes, exactly. You could have totally justified it. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so you wash. You don't use paper. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
We learned that from a young age. That's why we don't eat with our left hand. We don't do anything because it's...
Oh, that's right. Because...
We wash with this hand.
Yes. And because I used to... Years ago, I used to work for a company called Motec, who were based in India. But when they brought people over here to Silicon Valley in
tech stuff.
IT tech stuff. So I was employed sort of as an HR with people who were from India coming over here with their families to help them integrate, help them with their kids getting to school. And Lakshmikan and I became very good friends. Another guy called Venkat. And I learned all that about the left hand.
Yeah, left
and
hand.
Then the wives weren't allowed to cook when they were on their period.
Yeah, no, you can't. Yeah, much that stuff is, yeah, that's true. You can't go in the kitchen if you're on your period. I mean, there is
what?
You can't go to the kitchen,
I'm on mine every day. I'm in that kitchen every day.
You'd starve.
Doing sourdough for the dog.
But you also don't get to eat. I think, listen, and we really, I mean, don't have to spend time on this, but I think in all organized religion, there's a very thick vein of patriarchy.
Yeah.
And Hinduism is no exception.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. But then it's up to you what angle you take in how you live your modern life versus what spiritualism you choose from within Hinduism, which is replete with spiritualism. And you don't have to raise... My father and mother didn't raise me with all that period stuff at all. But mm-hmm. my mother used to say, you know, neighbor's daughter has to sit in the garden when she has period and you are so free. You are in kitchen having ice cream. Mm-hmm. Like it was my fault. But she wanted me to remember that was a huge thing.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, to understand how it could have been. Just me.
Yeah. And I think she always, my mother always wanted me to, like my father was like, you'll study and it doesn't matter who you, I don't even think he said the word marriage to me. Mm. My mother was always like, oh, who's going to marry you? You're so tall, so dark, so ugly. But
she sounds charming.
I mean, she was so fun. But I think the thing with my mom was she had all, my father had no anger about raising us like boys because he was a man.
Yeah.
She wanted us to be like, not like boys. She wanted us to be women with power, but she was furious because she had this latent sense of how unfair it was. Yeah. But she was also in a place in society where she didn't have much hardship growing up. She was from a landowning family. So it was this weird thing of everything has worked out for me, so why am I angry? Mm-hmm. And then she later retrained as a drug and alcohol therapist in India, which was hilarious because no one would admit it was drug and alcohol problems. Those were white people problems. And my mother was like, oh, I will become therapist for drug and alcohol. And she ran the rehab initially out of our house, which was wild because we had people would dry out for 10 days in the hospital. And then she had group in our garden when my dad was at work, because he knew, but he didn't know how much she was involved.
Oh, wow.
And so I would get home. I was in high school. I would get home. I remember the first time I was in the 11th grade. So I was, what, 16, 17? And I came home and she had a nap. My entire life, my mother's had a nap in the afternoon. And if you wake her up from her nap, if I had woken her up from her nap the second time, I did once, I would not be here.
Wow.
I would be dead. So I remember I came and she said, Suno, I have to go for my nap. You see that round circle of people in the garden? Go and sit there because they are addicts. They will run away. So go and sit there, but don't sit next to the bald fellow. He will bite you. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, are you deaf? I said, no, all right, fine. So I went and sat there and there was eight people, adults. And I didn't sit next to the bald guy because I didn't know what was going on.
And you didn't want bitten.
No, nobody wants bitten. Oh, no, some people do, but that's a kink.
Well, I mean, you know, I was a 16-year-old and I sat, I remember I left one chair and then I thought he would think it was weird. So I just sat there. And then so one of the women, there was only two women in the group. She said to me, oh, you're Mrs. V's daughter. And I said, yes. And she said, good. And then we just sat there for 55 minutes while mommy had her nap.
Speaking.
No, did nobody say anything?
No, I was not talking. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what an alcoholic was. Like I knew what alcohol was, but I'd never heard the term. And then I just sat there and they were nice. You know, some started crying. One started shouting at the other, but everyone just stayed. I think they were scared of mom as well because they didn't want to leave. She would have found them and killed them.
Oh, no.
And then she woke up and she came and she had her tea and she told me, "Tika, tum jao, you can go." So I left.
Wow. So you're kind of like a therapist by proxy.
Absolutely.
I was in non-consensual therapy from 16 years old. It was terrible.
Oh, really?
Do you drink? Do you drink alcohol?
You love whiskey.
Yeah. I love drinking. And my mom drank and my father drank because, you know, Hindus don't have a drinking thing. But it wasn't that. It was my mother is the one who taught me very early that addiction is not about alcohol.
No.
Or about this. Or addiction is about this and that. And blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's a root cause, isn't there? There's something that happens that, you know, you need the alcohol or the drugs or anything to compensate.
She wanted me to understand why some people can drink a lot and then stop.
Yeah.
Why can some people drink a little bit and never stop? Why can some people do? And she always said to me, it's the alcoholics or addicts are not able to see past their shame.
Oh.
And that's what keeps them there. And she always said to me, shame is so corrosive. Never make someone feel small. Because it's very hard for human beings to see past that. This is such a deep...
This is fascinating. And I'll tell you for why.
Now I'm talking about
I'm definitely not an alcoholic then because I never feel any shame anything.
No, but I'm telling you, that is really important.
Yeah,
some
I really
people
don't.
Can drink a lot their whole life but never be addicts.
It's funny because I know someone that shall remain nameless. That I think may or may not have a problem. And I remember meeting someone, I said, but X only has a glass of wine with their dinner. And Y said, it's been a long fucking meal. And I thought, wow, right, okay. Yeah. Now that's interesting because I think there are a lot of people, it's like what you say, if you look over the hill and you see everything, you might implode. because it's too much to cope with. So it's better being delusional. It's better, you know, self-soothing and all that kind of thing.
It's anesthesia in a way.
Yeah.
And then also what happens if you are a long-term addict is you will do things in your life that will have these side shit shows, flash fires, and then that becomes the issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fell down the stairs. I busted my head open. Yeah. That becomes the issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people come for treatment, some people don't. So you can be what my mother used to. My mother say, your father is dry drunk. It's like, what does that mean? And she would say, he does not have alcohol, but he is dry drunk, always controlling me, which was kind of true. But she also said, you didn't have to drink to have the behavior of an addict, which was manipulative, controlling, all those things. The fact is, my mother told me a lot of shit she shouldn't have because I was not there for it. I was such a like normal kid, you know. Other kids would come home from school and be like, I hate my math teacher. And their mother would say, that's disrespectful. I'd come home from school, I hate my math teacher. My mother would say, what do you really feel? I'm like, what? That's what I feel.
Oh.
And she would say, no. So it was too much.
Mm. And how many siblings are there?
We were two, we are one now.
Right, okay.
Sorry?
There were two of us.
But there's only one now. So I was hoping we could have moved past that. But thanks for highlighting it.
No. You can't.
Fucking lovely,
you can't,
isn't
just
it?
Just drop a dead sibling and not fucking just move on.
Well, I'm glad they're still with us. And I hope whatever they are, they're fine. Now, you like mangoes.
I love mangoes.
You do like mangoes.
I love mangoes.
Because a lot of your Instagram is you eating mangoes.
Oh, my God. No, I have got... Because what happened was... I always loved mangoes, but you don't get... In India, mango season stretches from about, because we have 220 or 30 kinds of mangoes. It starts sort of end of March, depending on the mango, and you go right up until October, because we're a big country, and north to south, the temperatures and the climate allow for different kinds of mangoes. I always love mangoes. And I was not allowed to eat a lot of mangoes growing up, because mangoes are very warm. They give you pimples, and mommy said, you're so dark, you have a pimple, no one will marry. So I was given like one mango maybe. I always had a thing about mangoes. And all Indians love mangoes, by the way. My parents would have parties, adults, children, everyone would come, take off their slippers, roll up their sleeves. We would sit on the floor with vats of mangoes and people would just eat mangoes and chat. It was just like a mango.
Were they addicted to mangoes? Did your mother not see this was mango binging in the extreme? No, what were these people hiding?
Mango fest.
I think the difference when we were growing up in India was, unlike here, you didn't get everything all year in the supermarket. Mango season. So we had mango vegetables, mango juice, mango, because it was mango time. And then when it was gone, it was gone.
See, it's funny because I feel the same way about pride festivals in this country. They run from June until about October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm telling you that we can get mangoes all year. But if you lived in the north, you couldn't get a South Indian mango.
No.
We didn't have big supermarkets and all. We had like what you got that day was what you bought and ate kind of thing.
See, I remember talking about food and Indian food, of which I'm a huge fan of.
Me too.
I have a friend who is quite fussy. She's quite a fussy eater. I'm going to name her Marion Pashley. She's a lovely woman. And
do you, Marion? You're very good.
Well, I'm about to. So
Marion's... That's a great Marion.
Marion's from Hull and talks like that. Everything's very breathy. And I remember she'd come into my flat and I went, oh, I've made you your tea, by the way. And she went like that. Oh, lovely. What is it? She's vegetarian. But I don't like to be difficult. You know, I smell your maw. So I'd say to her, I said, I've made you a veggie curry. And she went like that. Ooh, is it Northern Indian or Southern Indian? And I went,
good question.
Well, I said, it's a veggie curry. And she went, no, is it Northern Indian or Southern Indian? I went, the veg is from fucking Morrison's. You decide. So that's why I wanted to ask you, because you are an authority, which is better, Northern Indian or Southern Indian?
So this is a good question for me, because first of all, North and South India are so different. They're racially different, language, culture, everything. My mother was a North Indian. My father's a South Indian.
See, that analogy now works, because I'm thinking fascist snacks in the North with a bit more laid back in the South.
Well, actually, they're very intellectual, scholarly, more matriarchal in the South, and extremely patriarchal and more chilled out and fun-loving in the North. Now, food-wise, I had very, you know, my mother was a tremendous cook and my father was very particular about the food he wanted to eat. And so we always had extraordinary food. And on weekends, we had South Indian food because he was a South Indian. I would say that when you're young and you can digest everything, mainstream North Indian food, which is what you get most places here, is great. It's, you know, it's naan and dal and paneer and all that stuff. You have to bear in mind that food was for colder climates. So the food itself is very warming. You have things like a lot of cardamom and almonds. Those are heating foods.
Right.
If you go south, everything is mustard, coconut, curry leaves, which are those green leaves. Everything is cooling, because it's like boiling hot. Down there.
Is that where the Peshwari naan is from?
That's like literally that's northwest. North.
Right, because that's my favorite.
Peshwari naan is full of
hearty
and full of sweet like raisins and this and that because up there is cold.
Yeah,
and they're also meat eaters.
North Indian chili chicken.
There you go. Yeah, South Indian, you're coastal.
Pretty much vegetarian, aren't you?
Yeah, I started eating fish in 2010.
Right.
And then in 2020, I got terrible COVID. You remember at the beginning when no one really knew what it was and everyone was just fighting for toilet paper and then people started dying and they were like...
And you were shouting, I don't need the toilet paper. No, could you leave the pasta? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, that you were very lucky then not to go through the toilet paper crisis if you just washed.
I was like, I don't need toilet paper. I got my hands. I mean, and as long as we don't have a water crisis, my ass is fine.
Yeah.
But I was also so sick. I was like, I wasn't eating. I did reach my target weight, so happy, but it was so short.
Oh, I'm one stomach flew away from mine.
Oh my God. I mean, sometimes I want to go to India and just eat from the street
and just see what happens.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, by the way, I think all body types are great, and please don't.
No. I think we're overthinking things. We're overthinking it.
It is that sense now, isn't it? Putting a caveat into everything you say, just in case somebody somewhere might be upset.
Well, because here's the thing: is that it's not just that they might be upset; they might think that. Being skinny is a standalone value. Mm. It is not.
Mm. For some people, it is.
But for me, being skinny is a standalone value because I have terrible body dysmorphia. Shit, I'll own it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting here right now and I know that I don't look to other people the way I look to myself, but I own it. I'm like...
Well, can I just say that out of the three of us, you're clearly the most flexible.
I know.
Because she is in full lotus position.
This is half lotus.
So, you know, it's all happening.
It's half lotus,
and the thing is as well, you don't have to look at it. You don't have to touch yourself. You have a husband for that. And the husband clearly enjoys it still. Occasionally.
Are we going to talk about my sex life now?
Well, we've talked about everything else. I didn't realize you were shy.
I don't think there's many subjects we haven't touched on today.
I just think that, you know, here's the thing. When people talk about their sex life and their comics and they're on stage, it's immediately about another person as well. Mm. And then I feel like, they're not a comic.
And it's not just your story.
So all is well in that department. We'll move on.
Let's go.
There you go. I'm like lovely. Oprah. I just... Seamless. Seamless. Yeah. Now, you're up here. You open tonight. You're here for 10 days.
Yes, but I have to just tell you one thing before I...
Oh, please do.
Between North Indian and South Indian food, I will say this. If you have any form of digestion, there's a lot in the West called IBS.
Yes.
Well, so they say.
I have that, allegedly.
But, well, if you have any of that, I would stick to a very South Indian cuisine because it's based on a lot of... So you ferment things briefly, not like weird fermented, like that Polish cucumber business, not like that. Mm, just like regular, you know. By the way, just to say anyone who's Polish, I love you.
Oh my God. Can we move on?
Oh.
Just to say.
Sorry for being born.
Yeah.
So it's fermented. It's got a lot of things that are actually great for your gut line.
All right, okay.
So if you have IBS, don't go and eat naan and all that jazz. Take it easy. Go and eat some dosa, idli. And shout out, here in Edinburgh, there's Tanjore, which is always overbooked, best South Indian food. And I'm South Indian.
Wait, where is that?
Clerk Street.
Ah.
It is fucking...
What's it called?
Tanjore.
I went yesterday. They were like 30-minute wait. I was like, okay. And they were like 40-minute wait. I was like, And then I think they were like 2 days. I was like, okay, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Because they were so fully booked. They thought I'd piss off and I wasn't. They were just like, we're not going to give you a seat for a week. I was like, okay, I'll leave. They're always fully booked. It's lovely.
All right, okay.
Did you see straight outside this particular venue, there is a massive board with your face on it?
Yeah, I took a photo of it.
Nice.
And I was like, who's walking by here to see
nobody.
Me?
Nobody.
Why is this somewhere where someone's looking at me?
Yeah.
Well, this is how we feel, Because the funny thing is as well, it doesn't really happen. We're not on any of the boards right here. No. Not that it would make a damn bit of difference because you're right, no bugger is here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I feel like. Well, why am I here? But then I think... I didn't really look into it much when they were saying, oh, we're going to put the posters in good places. And I think for me, this is to come back to something about comedy. I think you can only micromanage that much.
Yeah.
If you're funny and you get on socials and people talk about you, they'll come.
They'll come and find you. Yeah, absolutely.
We're not funny and we're not on social media.
No, you are funny. But this is the middle of the afternoon as well.
Oh, listen, this has been... I remember taking magic mushrooms and having better fun, and I shot myself and freaked out.
But that's, you know, that's
but the funny thing is, we've really enjoyed the show. We really have enjoyed the show.
We're having a lovely time.
I was literally laughing, and the audience are very nice.
We are having...
But they're very polite laughers.
Mm. I think it's because they're down a drink now. I think they need another before they look over there into the thing and go, oh, Christ, you've made that last.
Well, I don't know if that's a drink or she's needed to go to the loo and just use it as a receptacle.
A shiwi. Sindhu, where are you on and what time?
Yes, so I am on at Pleasant's.
Good, Beyond. I'm really glad you know what you're
Pleasant's
up to.
Beyond at 6:30.
Nice.
From the 18th, today and tomorrow, there are works in progress for the same show. So you can try and come along to those. Otherwise, just go to the Pleasants website and put in Alphabet and you'll see it's Pleasants. Also, no offense, but Pleasants is beyond, beneath, under my arm, yeah, over your head, by his
ridiculous
side, next to the gopher.
It should be one room.
The dog. I'm and like, they don't where have, are these places?
They don't let latecomers in. And so by the time you found wherever
well,
the
I've said
beyond
in all
behind
my
you,
shows, latecomers are welcome.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
anyone
it does, that's what happens.
Who can go through a thesaurus to find out which Pleasants they're in. Should just
do you know what I've said this run? I don't want people in and it's worked. Sindhu,
yes.
I'm sure you will be very busy.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I have loved
it. No, kid,
thank
I've enjoyed
you
it
very
too.
Much.
It's nice to see
lovely
you. Come have a round of applause for the wonderful Sindhu V. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you. More hugs. More hugs. More hugs. More hugs.
Absolutely. Round of applause. Give
right,
round
lovely.
Of applause. Lovely. Now, would you like to introduce our last guest?
Last, but by no means least, the wonderful, the fabulous, the very funny Anna Clifford. Get yourself
hello
up here.
Hello. How are you?
You are being very... I mean, it's very off-brand for Bruce. Bruce doesn't like to be touched ever. You're doing...
It's because it's women today.
Oh,
I'll
yes
touch a woman,
okay,
not in
yes
my own time, yeah, but professionally. You know, I know what I like. And that's left alone. How are you?
I'm all right,
I'm
thanks
loving the Khloe Kardashian vibe because you know what she says? The bigger the hoop, the bigger
the
hole.
Oh,
fabulous.
I did not know they said that.
Did not
right
know that.
What now, what trauma do you want to bring to our table today? We feel like we've had quite a
I know.
Lot
I felt. I actually felt like people were bringing up stuff and I was
I
like,
mean,
I came unprepared.
It's been like an intellectual X Factor audition.
Yeah,
this
yeah
is so much better than your granny being run over by a minibus.
Mm. No, absolutely. But if you
like
want...
What Irish trauma do I bring to the table?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to bring up the famine? I don't know.
The troubles, Tatoes.
Yeah.
Tatoes. I tried Tatoes once. I didn't get it.
Okay, but now where did you try them?
Oh, I tried them in the south. Is that wrong?
In the whole Southern Ireland, yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was Dublin
well,
Airport.
Yeah, Dublin.
Is that
yeah,
the
yeah,
south?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, no, Tatoes are Southern Ireland.
Okay, so no, because there's like a Tato up in the Northern Ireland that has different packaging, so... That you did try Southern Tato and you didn't think it was.
No, it was
much
me and my friend Sarah, and she likes a drink, and I was a bit tiddly as well. And I thought, ugh, these are a bit Ganton. No, I'm not really.
Compared
that
to what, Nick? What would be your favourite crisp? Because don't say a Walker, because like.
Oh, bitch, please, can I answer your question? I found this very invasive. It's actually homophobic. So, my favourite crisps, thank you for asking me. I believe it or not, and I'm going to speak quite plainly. So, there's two. There's a Spanish kind Toro that you get in Mellis, the cheese shop, where I get my body padding from. And they are they're truffle. But my favourite commoner garden buy crisps to go with a box of wine, the Co-op, Chardonnay vinegar and sea salt. Thank me later. They are the best, aren't they? Just absolutely, you know, Marks and Spencers, I love you, but you can fuck off. They are the best. Yeah. Delicious.
They still sound like quite fancy.
Mm. Well,
Chardonnay vinegar.
Download the app. Sometimes you get a pound off.
Oh, nice.
So with that pound you save, get a tzatziki dip. You'll love the combination.
I do like a salty V.
Mm. I like a sensation and that's all I'll have.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
that's fair enough. You're quite bold with your crisp choices there. Quite fascisti.
The chili one, yeah.
The sweet chili ones.
That's
yeah,
it.
Sweet
yep
chili. They are good.
What about you? What's your favourite? I wasn't dissing Tatoes.
No,
I
was just interested. No, you know, I know.
But,
I came in strong there.
No,
I
no, that's
but
right.
I'm quite
but it's just, you know when something's built up? You know, when someone builds up some bit. It's the same when I went to see Pam Ann for the first time. They said you'd love her. She was fine, but, you know,
Yeah, I know what you mean. When someone builds something up, then you're like, this is the hype. Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, no, it's just a good, solid, like, cheese and onion crisp back home with a pint of Guinness. Like, that's...
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Or sometimes, you know, when you go on a school trip and you have your cheese and onion crisp and then you have a chocolate bar and then you do, like, the sweet and savoury.
Mm. Do you know, that's nice when you get them both stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can lick them for the rest of the day.
Lick them, yeah. Yeah, keep them for sort of afters.
Okay. Nothing gross about that.
Whereabouts in Ireland are you from?
I'm from Dublin.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Now, were you a child of the success of the Celtic Tiger, or were you there when it kind of prolapsed and shat itself?
Oh, no. I was kind of a middle, I guess. Mm. Like, I feel like the Celtic Tiger was when I was just like 16, 17. So my parents did all right, but lost maybe a bit of money. But it wasn't like people who had just bought houses. And then I just started working in a shop, so I started earning my own money.
Well, that's
missed the boat there. And then we crashed again, really, didn't we, during the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably another one on the way. So it's great.
Another what?
Crash.
Crash, yes.
You think? Well, everything's going up in Dublin anyway. It's so expensive right now and everything's...
I love Dublin, but the last time I was there, it did seem to be that the drugs was a lot of people on drugs and homelessness.
I find it
quite...
I didn't know if you meant just
endearing, because you love drugs.
No, I know. But they were heroin, so they weren't on my... No, they're not on my...
Oh, no, sorry. I won't do skag. I won't do smack.
You go like... The Laughter Lounge, right?
Laughter Lounge, so, and they've got that flat.
And that should be gorgeous because it's along the quays, right?
Yes,
but
beautiful.
That's where all the homeless drug addicts.
All the homeless, all the drug
stay.
Addicts, and that's the drug addict. And then
they're harmless though. But
well, they, do you know what? They're actually really sweet because they would sit on my doorstep, and then I'd sort of come back and sort of have to, you know, they'd be like, sorry. And then I'd kind of lock the door, and I heard one of them say, "Oh, must be awful living here with people like us." So how very astute of them to make you feel really bad.
But that's like in Cardiff near the castle, where if you're a man that likes a bit of man time on the side, you can get some action from the police, apparently.
Oh.
It's all people living in tents that are on spice, which is a plant fertilizer.
Yes.
And they're all living in the Primark doorway. Now, Primark's pretty sad at the fucking best of times.
I love Primark.
But I feel sorry for the wee children. Because it's the wee children you don't give a fuck about. Because they're making up with their tiny little fingers. But you know something? It's cheap and it's convenient. So I totally get your point.
Sure.
Are they still doing that? I thought child slavery, they had
I think
made
they
to
lie.
Stop.
I think they lie.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Mm. Yeah, need to go back to the source.
Yeah, exactly. And the source is society.
People camping outside Primark waiting for it to open.
I don't think they were waiting for it to open. I just think all the Primark shops are so big. They've got the biggest entrances.
Yeah, they do.
And there's a cafe in the one here. Have you been in the one here on Princess Street?
Oh, is there? Yeah.
There's a cafe.
There's a cafe in loads of them now.
Oh, I don't think I fancy that.
So if you want to spend the day there.
Oh my God. Well, they'd be as well actually giving you a locker for your clothes so you could go in, get a onesie so you're comfortable, and then go around the shop in a onesie, leave all the home furnishing things because they're good for candles, and then pop up and have a bit of lunch.
Yeah, that sounds nice, doesn't it?
I think we should suggest it. Yeah. Do you touch upon Primark in your shop? And do you pronounce it Primark or Primark?
No, see, we call it Pennies in our
Pennies, they put Pennies on it, of course.
It's a different name altogether, so Pennies. Mm. Yeah.
Wow, but so, they call it Primark in the north of Ireland, don't
Primark,
they?
So I would say, I always say Primark. I say Primark to people when I'm talking about it.
Primarni.
Yeah. But back home it's Pennies. Like, and if someone gives you a compliment and you say, "Thanks, Pennies, hun," because then you're like, you're happy that you got it for so cheap because of those kids.
do you still have Dunn's stores over there?
We have Dunn's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good Sarah one. Watson, that's where she used to work before she was plucked from obscurity to be a comedy admin.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah used to run the Glasgow Festival. Very good friend of my lovely woman.
Dublin had one of my favourite, you know, when they use puns to name shops, was Abracababra. I don't know if it's still in Dublin.
Oh, Abracababra, yeah.
What a great name.
Proper late night place where you'd
But it's just
land.
Dublin. I've never seen it anywhere else.
There's really? One on Easter Road called Sheesh Happens.
Oh, that's superb. Tell us all about your show, Hannah.
So my show is a stand-up storytelling hour of a personal story. So back the start of lockdown. Mm. On March 12th, to be exact, I decided to embark on a spiritual journey and turn off my phone and go into the Irish wilderness to take ayahuasca with shaman.
Oh my God, I saw Chelsea Handler do that.
Yeah.
Did you shit yourself?
I didn't shit myself, thank God.
Right, okay. No,
yeah,
okay.
Apparently Mother Nature didn't think I was full of shit to get out, thank God.
Wow. So you got rid of everything?
Yeah, I turned off my phone, yeah. Went off and...
On your own?
No, well, I was with a friend and some strangers. And you're meant to do this in Peru, where it's lovely and legal and bright. And I did it in, a bit of a grey area in Ireland.
So where did you do it?
In Meath.
Okay, not the same as, right?
And then obviously on the 17th of March, turned back on my phone after finding myself and got a notification of a lockdown, my mom having a brain tumor and being ghosted by the guy I was dating all in the same day. So
comes in threes.
I turned it into a joke.
But more importantly, positively, did you find yourself?
Yes. Where were you?
Where was I?
Yes.
Well, she was in Meath on ayahuasca.
Like, I came back being like, I understand life. Everything's like unreal. And then it was like, boom. So then I was just like, actually, you'll never understand life. That's the lesson, you know?
That's the best lesson to learn, is that you'll never know.
You can never be like, that's it. That's the reason. That's the moment. Just have to keep trucking along and get on with stuff.
Well, I'm a big fan of putting one foot in front of the other. Yeah. And because what's the alternative? You might as well just top yourself. So either top yourself or keep putting one foot in front of the other.
So you're a fan of walking?
Yes.
Right.
Well, no,
okay. And how's your mum?
She's good, yeah. That's she's good right. now. She's just arrived in Edinburgh, actually.
Oh, that's
so they'll
nice.
Be seeing the show tonight, which I'm terrified about.
Well, of course.
Because we all lived it, but I think it'll be good.
The guy that goes to Jews, he did?
But yeah, I hope so.
Oh, yeah,
I hope so.
So do I.
I like it when we wish death
on people. I hope he was actually just ghosting me.
Well, we're pro-murder on this broadcast because some people deserve it.
Oh yeah, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Bruce has got a list.
I'll give you a name after this.
But you know, sometimes just taking someone's ability to breathe away from them is the only way they'll learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But also the people that you like your mother, I'm assuming, the tumour that she was diagnosed with, is it operable, curable?
Yeah, no, she had her operation. She couldn't, everything got pushed back because of COVID. So that was like the worrying time, I guess. But then eventually she had her operation, got her removed. And now a checkup said that there's nothing there. So yeah, she just has to keep monitoring it. But yeah, really good.
Because it is terrifying when you get news like that.
Oh, it's absolutely such a shock to the system for sure.
And what does she think about you being a comedian?
She's just like, yeah, nice. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she's like, she knows that I have to do it. Like, she's like, yeah, you're a performer, you're an entertainer. You've always been that way since you were younger. And they did once try and force me to go to business school and that didn't work out. So now they're like, yeah, we just have to let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it ride
the
wave.
Did you perform as a child? Did you do shows?
Yeah.
So did I.
Like acting and just always putting on my own shows in the house or dressing up in her clothes and coming out and doing something, you know, so...
Yeah, I was Tootsie from the film with a biscuit tin on my head and balloons for breasts. And my mum still doesn't believe I'm Big Mo, which is a shame when you get to 82 and you think, oh. So who was that guy you used to live with? I went, oh, just a carer. Because it's amazing the way that the parents, they kind of know, but there's certain things that they don't want to touch upon with you.
Yeah.
Have you found that with your folks?
Well, I think so. Like, I think my dad is because I used to do a lot of theatre as well. My mum would love to come watch that. And she'd come a couple of times now. And then I remember once when I first got a gig at the Ivy Gardens Festival. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that before? In Dublin, big festival. And I was like, I got these spare tickets, mom and dad. Like, if you want to come. And my mom goes, I'll come when you're more established.
Oh, that's fun.
And I was like, that is one of the biggest festivals in Ireland. But sure, okay. But at the time, like, I get it. Like, sometimes it's not the stuff... She thinks I'm a bit laddie. It's not the stuff that you want to hear. And that's fine.
The thing is, she is coming tonight. My mom has never seen me. Well, she's obviously seen me in the house and stuff like that. Going, really, why are you wearing that? Can you stop moaning? It's not my fault. It was 40 years ago. You got divorced. You'll have to get over it. But she would never come and see me, and I would never want her to. Mm. But funnily enough, my father, who's kind of no longer with us, he came a couple of times, and he went, oh, you've got really good confidence. Really?
That's
really?
Not what you need as a performer. No. That's not, yeah.
No, you want flowers.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And stars and all kinds of things.
I don't want stars, Jen.
I hate people that I know coming to see yeah. me. Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to cut in and say I hate people.
Yeah, no, I know.
Just in general. I mean, sometimes I can remember doing runs of shows and I thought, if they laugh at this bit 18 days in, I'm going to lose it. I've got nothing but contempt for you. Mm. Grow up, find something of your own to laugh at. You ever like that with an audience thinking, we had two people in here the other day that fucking fell asleep. Yeah. And the laugh was, we were talking about walkouts and shows and they never fucking took the bait, did they? You know, and I'm sorry you're having an affair with your son, madam. No wonder you're tired, but that's not our fucking problem. Move.
We should have just asked them to leave.
Well, but, I was tempted, yeah. but I've done that before.
Carried them out.
I can't go into it.
But I was completely unaware because you had them in your eye line and I couldn't
get
see
everyone,
them.
Honestly,
so I no
get
idea.
Everyone over there. There yeah. was a teenage girl that was trying to pick a vein. She was pulling on her split ends. I just wanted to rip her hair out by the root and go, get the fuck out, you ungrateful bitch. Me. Now, what time are you on and where?
I'm on at 9 p.m. every night in the Gilded Balloon, Teviot.
Oh, right. What room are you
the
in?
The balcony.
Oh, the balcony.
Yeah, it's a lovely room.
That is a lovely
it
room,
is a
actually.
Yeah, loving
and
it.
The noise bleeds not too bad because that's one of the main problems with the Gilded is oh, quite a lot of
yeah,
noise.
Yeah,
no,
there is
bleed.
A good, there is a noise bleed. There's a musical comedian on behind me and he gets oh, lots okay. of claps throughout. I try and reference it sometimes if it's like at the right time of my bit.
Because you're near the toilets. Do you hear a lot of flushing?
No, I'm not that near the door. I'm in the sportsman's.
Is that not near the toilets?
No, I've got the back door onto the alley, so you hear the bottles being emptied.
Oh.
So that's fun.
Yeah, you don't hear what's going down the path.
No.
No. So are you kind of glad that you're midway, that the end's in sight, that
yeah,
kind of thing?
I was
yeah,
I thinking today, okay, less than 2 weeks and you'll be home now. Yeah, it is a long slog. Even though I'm having a really good time, genuinely, like, lovely crowds, like...
Oh, we don't want to hear that here, but
no,
thank you.
We don't, yes, no, no. showing
that's
off
just nasty. We've been nice to you.
Yeah, but still, I'm still like, yesterday I was just like, why am I doing this and having a cry and all, you know, so.
I'm not even allowed to mention the success of my own solo show.
Well, because are we sure there is a success? We haven't heard. How is your show doing?
Yes,
have you had reviews? I know you've been busy enough. Have
no,
you had reviews?
No reviews because I didn't pay for PR.
Oh, right, okay.
But sold out for the last 3 nights.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Not yesterday because I wasn't there.
That's great.
When you say 2 weeks you'll be home, is home still Dublin? Or?
Home's still Dublin for the moment. I kept saying, yeah, I accidentally moved home again to my mum and dad's just before this. And I was like, everything I got pushed back to after Edinburgh. I was like, don't worry about it till after Edinburgh. Then my car broke down and I had to sell that. And I was like, okay, worry about that after Edinburgh. So I'm going home to be homeless, in debt, and no oh. car. So. Come to see my show?
Yeah.
Can't you get onto RTE's version of Loose Women?
Do they have a version of Loose Women?
Well, apparently you do, because a friend of mine that lives over here that shall remain nameless, Michelle McManus, she went over there and when she saw it, she went, oh, I hope Scotland goes independent so we can get our own version of Loose Women. And I went,
what will that be called?
Puppetry of the Pish Flaps?
No.
Really? What a
it
nonsense.
It would just be Lush Women anyway.
Well, hardly Loose.
I'll have a look. I need to look out for that, yeah.
And if you see Samantha Mumba, because I'm obsessed, tell her I said hello.
I will, of course.
Okay, can we have a round of applause? Thank you for joining
you,
us.
We're going to let
Jojo,
you lose that.
Jojo, for the yeah. people listening,
yeah.
where are you on?
Where am I on? Yes. I'm at the Gilded Balloon Sportsman's 4:45 p.m. every
and
day.
And your show's called?
Growing Old Disgracefully.
And what are you discussing in that?
That I'm on brand, basically. I'm just being disgraceful as I get older. And
well, there
yeah,
you go.
Losing keys at Glastonbury and having sex in a tent. There we go.
So if thrush is your thing, pop along. Right. Have a great Fringe, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow,
see you
dear.
Tomorrow,
toodles.
Darling.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.